know, and online at kpfa.org. The time is now 2 p.m. Stay tuned for Visionary Activist.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, here we are. Yes, KPFA, are you hearing me? Yes, we think, oh, there we go. Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I am your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So we are convening our full moon council. The moon will be full tonight, tomorrow morning at 3:43 a.m. West Coast time. And it is a powerful full moon. The image for the sun at this full moon is a community catalyzed and brought alive by truth. And we go, whoa, that's great. It's also, the moon's image will be one about overcoming image and PR, and that is our intention. It is such a powerful time right now. We remember not to leave the beautiful opportunities proffered to us by default to the Dementors, lest they animate it in a less than desirable way. Because also Saturn right now is stationing deep, 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 deep. It's hardly moving at all from the Earth's perspective in Scorpio at 28 degrees of Scorpio plus, whose image is an Inca princess pleads for the life of her children. We go, ooh, it's deep. May we all have dedicated hearts to protecting life at this time of dire beauty. And then Saturn stations and begins to go forward on Sunday, August 2nd, which is Lammas, which is one of the four gates of power, the mid-season time celebrated by all people with an intimacy with the sky-earth story. And it's particularly pertinent because part of our show's dedication is to suck the chi out of colonialism, and colonialism in a particular moment of the Pope's ill-advised, disastrous, really, intention, we want to dissolve that, to canonize Junipero Serra on the vernal equinox, a powerful time dedicated to balance and justice in Washington, D.C. And we go, no, so each moment awaits our time, each moment of time awaits our imaginative dedication, and we say all of nature awaits our willingness and our wonder. We are going to be excavating a diabolic, delusional, demonic, dementor, Disneyfication of Junipero Serra. And I mean all of those words. A wonderful ally said, do you know where the word symbolic comes from? And I go, oh, sim means together and bowl is to throw. And he said, either we have a symbolic relationship to the world or the world is diabolic, thrown apart. Delusional comes from de ludo, which means out of the game, missing the whole point of life. So we are segueing from last week's show, where last week hosted wonderful Matthew Fox and Elias Castillo, author of a really important book, A Cross of Thorns, The Enslavement of California Indians by the Spanish Mission. Really, everyone, we encourage everyone to read that. And also we had on Chairman Valentin Lopez of the Amamutzin Tribal Band, who will be joining us at the half hour. So, you know, tonight's full moon really is the full moon, Aquarius Leo, of cultural influence for the dedicated heart. So more than perfectly, we welcome, you know, two deeply dedicated hearts, Norma Flores Torpina Carac, she will help me to pronounce that correct name, California native woman, creator of the Move On petition, which we encourage all to sign, and at the half hour, Chairman Valentin Lopez of the Amamutzin Tribal Band. The tale of Junipero Serra, where we will be guided, goes to the plutonic roots of colonialism's intrinsic brutality. And Pope Francis is currently, temporarily, intending to canonize Serra on September 23rd at 4:15 p.m. in Washington, D.C., because we are friends of the Pope Francis's soul. We are enemies of this project. Let's see the Pope reconsidering. Consider means with the stars. And in this case, literally, the proposed canonization is to take place on the autumnal equinox, sacred day of bringing all justice into balance. once. Vestiges of colonialism really are at the root of all that ails the world as we look out there, whether it's, you know, the iconic brutality of, you know, an individual killing lion or the buffoonery of, it's all colonialism. Vestiges of colonialism are at the root of all that ails the world, and we gather to consider what must we die from, what must we die to, lest we die from. So welcome, Norma Flores.
Yes, hi, thank you for having me, and your introduction was perfect.
Oh, it was wonderful. Well,
thank
yes,
you. No,
yeah, I love your sizzly Scorpio self since you revealed that to me. I love that. And maybe a wonderful way to begin is you've taken the name of... Say again.
Toy Purina.
Toy Purina.
Toy Purina was a Gabrielino woman who led a revolt. Well, she was actually approached by a neophyte by the name of Nicolas Jose, and the neophytes were the native people who were enslaved by the church, for the missions, and they were forced to, they were enticed, they were deceived. They were given small gifts, and they were told that they would be protected, but the thing is, we had lived here for thousands of years safely. But when the foreign dominators came here, the inquisitors under the papal bulls, Doctrine of Discovery, came here and dominated our people and immediately started raping women. And it wasn't for sexual gratification. It was a matter of power. It was a way to emasculate our men, coming with their swords and their guns just to overpower. Because, you know, when these priests came here, there was a priest. There were two or three priests per mission with a very small military attaché, and there were hundreds and thousands of Indians in the areas, but with their power and brute force and their, you know, they had all this experience dominating the world prior to getting to California in the late 1700s. They were a well-tuned military machine, under the guise of evangelism.
And protecting much wealth.
Well, you know, California had gold, and the native people here, especially the Gabrielino, knew that there was gold. There was gold in Azusa. But we knew, our ancestors knew, that the gold would bring bad to us. And so we did not mine the gold because, again, we were sustainable livers. We only took what the earth gave to us. That we didn't mine, we didn't drill, we did not farm. And those are all things that were brought by the Spanish explorers, and how the Pope has decided that this was an evangelical conquest escapes us because it's in direct conflict with recent statements he's made, especially in South America and others.
Yeah, we want to go right to that, but I also want to further honor Toy Purina, who is, you know, your backstage ancestral ally, because you say you live on the land that was her village. And she raided the San Gabriel Mission, you say, on October 25th, 1785, but you live on the land that was her village just west of the San Gabriel Mission.
I do, and I actually had my... I was actually, years ago, I was a parishioner at San Gabriel Mission.
Ah, yes.
And I actually sent my son to school there, first grade through... He was only there first through third because they did not treat him very kindly, but we went through the whole church indoctrination and attending mass and, you know, selling bingo and fiesta tickets and all that. And it just never felt right. You know, we didn't feel right there, and I didn't realize what was really going on. And so I eventually took him out of that school. But we live adjacent to that land.
And you say that she and your great-grandmother send you hawks and an occasional coyote.
Yes, well, I had a very interesting encounter a couple of weeks ago. My mother, who is native, was in the hospital for an upgraded pacemaker and defibrillator because, you know, she has congestive heart failure. And she'd been in surgery for several hours, so I called and said, well, when will she be out? They said, well, pretty soon. So I went down to my car to get some bags for her to stay overnight. And as I exit the rear area of my vehicle or getting things out of the trunk, a very small coyote walked up to me. This is in Los Angeles.
Right.
This is in Downey, California, at the Kaiser Permanente in Downey. What on earth is this? It was a very small female. She was just like a sweet little doggie, and she looked at me, and I said, oh, my goodness. And when my mother came out of surgery, she told me she'd had an encounter with her ancestors, with her father, with her grandmother. She said Toy Purina was in the room.
Oh.
My brother died of diabetes last year. We've had very little contact with him. He was there when all these things were happening to her, and they said, my mother said their message is that they want justice. And that I'm prepared to do this. I was educated to do this, and that they want me to keep going. And so, you know, it's not my intent to disrespect anyone who is Catholic. And again, the Pope has been so progressive, and he said so many great things. But we want to hold him accountable for his rhetoric.
That's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it's a fierce blessing to hold all of us accountable to our dedicated hearts. And I happen to have right here a little pouch of coyote hair, just to, because I live with a coyote, an actual coyote. And so, because you had said, you know, and you have started the Move On petition, which we want to encourage everyone to sign. It's on my Facebook page, and you can tell people also how to find it. It's on the website of coyotenetworknews.com, all of that. But you said, yeah, the ancestors had sent you to complete this, you know, to be dedicated to this, because it's so important, because it does tie us to everything. And I love there's a saying, you know, we have been sent by our ancestors to complete their missions of peace and justice. And you've really sent me so many fabulous things. I go, you have been so busy. You are so dedicated and prolifically accomplished. I mean, we just want to go, yes, but then also, you know, coyote loves against all odds. And you'd said this is a David and Goliath, and we go, coyote loves you clearly and your family, and coyote loves against all odds. Going against all odds, no problem, because you know when coyote watches bad humans laying traps, coyote will watch and follow along, and then they learn how to spring the trap with wood, and then they pee all over it just as an attitudinal joke. And we go, yes, some of that. So we love that. Now, you're doing many things. We want to, you know, honor a lot, but you're also, and I have so much that you sent me here, so you can go anywhere you want at any time. But you also, you also want to hold Governor Brown accountable to his inner, you know, obfuscated, but we'll dig for it, dedicated heart, because you say, well, one, you know, he's in the Vatican to discuss the environment, but he still advocates fracking.
Yes.
And Refugio Spill is that's very dear to me. I lived there.
Okay.
And that's the site of the Chumash people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have your quote here. You know, but you can take it away if you have it. But you know, it's the noting and Indian Times, a great newspaper, Indian Times. Everybody can Google that. But announced that Pope Francis was apologizing in Latin America for the grave sins committed against the native peoples in the name of God. He was apologizing for colonialism. So our wonderful guest at the half hour, also Chairman Lopez, said great thing, going, we'd like some details, Pope Francis. We'd like some details to your apology. Do you want to jump in on this?
Apologizing for, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But first, you know, first let's hold Governor Brown, you know, guide him back to his heart. But what do you want to let people know about the complex duplicity of Governor Brown at the moment around this issue?
Well, I was, we all know Governor Brown. You know, I voted for him the first two times. I voted for him these last two times, right? He was educated as a Jesuit. And so he should have a basic idea of the devastation of what the missions brought to California. It was very interesting because he made his statement. He read from Scripture. And, again, I don't wish to be disrespectful towards the Church, towards devout Catholics, towards cultural Catholics, towards colonized Catholics, or towards conflicted Catholics. However, the governor said, he quoted, Father Sarah was a very courageous man. and one of the innovators and pioneers of California.
Right.
He also acknowledged the horrible devastation of the native peoples. But then he turned around and said that he was not going to remove the statue of Junipero Serra, that he felt that he was an important, that he was an innovator. And I've been coordinating with Val Lopez, and very early on, I had the distinct honor and privilege to meet with Stephen Newcomb. And as you know, I don't know if you're familiar with his work. He's author of Pagans of the Promised Land. He's Shawnee Lenape, and he is the co-founder of the Indigenous Law Institute, and he is perhaps the world's expert on the Papal Bulls. And he actually wrote a letter to the governor before he went to the Vatican, and so did Val Lopez, and we have yet to receive responses for him. But we're looking for some accountability. So if you're going to admit to horrible devastation, how can you say that Junipero Serra was courageous and he was an innovator and pioneer when he simply came and he promulgated enslavement, domination, dehumanization? He did everything here that had been done before. And that a saint is said to be deserving of great respect, reverence, and veneration. How can the principal agent who brought a system of what the Holy See called Imperii Christiani, Christian Empire, with its intent to reduce and subjugate our nations and people, be deserving of veneration and great respect, let alone reverence? So, early on, I started the petition because it was very disturbing to all people, especially California Native people, when the Pope made his announcement on that airplane departing the Philippines that he was going to go through with the canonization of Junipero Serra. Junipero Serra is sort of a sleeping giant to California Native people. We just kept hoping that if we ignore him, maybe he'll go away.
But he's, yeah. But we have to say, as Chairman Val did last week, and will possibly again at the midpoint of this show, went through the list of highways and schools and statues and just money and the missions. You know, there's a lot of investment in denial, right? I mean, there's just a lot. The amount of renaming, and not the Coyote likes that going. You know, and there's a statue in Washington D.C. And I do have to say also, because we're going to keep this rolling for sure, and I will have Elias Castillo back in some weeks too. We're going to keep it going, and many ways to honor what should be honored. But there was a lot of really profound response to last week's show.
Good, I listened to it. I heard it, and I took notes. And what I wanted to do today with you is try to supplement that.
Perfect. Right.
I weren't able to cover last week. I want to try to jump on that right now.
That's great. Wait, and just one moment, I'll hand it back right back to you. But more than one great ally who grew up in California said, I listened to the show weeping at how I'd been bamboozled, weeping that I believed all that about Junipero Serra as an innovator for good, not for torture. I believed it all. Oh. So this diving to deep place is important and necessary now for healing. But so it's working. So yes, and let me hand it back to you for whatever else, however you want to guide us, as though. You know, Pope Francis were listening, or Jerry Brown were listening, but also even more our wonderful dynamic listenership. You know, guide us on a tour. You know, the Pope went to slums in it was a rare moment of going to slums, and so you and Val get to be tours of, you know, past misery as well as present, because they're all related.
First of all, I would not take any selfies with the Pope. You know, secondly, and I would not want an entourage because that would disrespect our ancestors. A couple of months ago, we were lucky enough to be contacted by Alistair Lighthead of the BBC. And we only had a couple of days to pull it together, but we did a very quick radio and TV spot that aired on the BBC. It's very interesting, as was mentioned last week, that you don't have mainstream media in the United States covering this, especially in California.
Yes.
And, you know, talking about the Disneyfication of the missions, because they want to make money off of this. They want to sell T-shirts. They want to sell mugs. They want more visitors to the mission. But what I would say to the Pope, I'll say my statement to the Pope, then to the governor. The Vatican is a global opinion shaper. The actions taken by the Pope have far-reaching impact. The United Nations knows the political capital you hold when it comes to international policy and decision-making. You recently stated, concealing or denying evil is like allowing a wound to keep bleeding without bandaging it, regarding the Armenian genocide of 1915 to 1923. You continually advocate on behalf of those that have been victimized by sexual abuse in the church and advocate human life from the moment of conception. Clearly, the actions of Junipero Serra and the California Mission System are in conflict with your beliefs you have preached for the past 2 years. The plan to canonize Junipero Serra will not celebrate Hispanics or attract more non-practicing Catholics back to the church. This action sends a clear message to indigenous peoples across the globe. The Catholic Church does not value our lives, nor does it regret the sins of Father Serra or the genocide of our ancestors that died building the California missions as slaves. But that is what I want the Pope to know. There's a great deal more detail that we could give him regarding the rape, the dominations. You know, they talk about, oh, the Indians died of disease. Well, one of the primary diseases that killed the native people here in San Gabriel at the mission was syphilis. Now, you don't catch that from a sneeze, do you? We don't need any more details about that. In terms of the governor, and you know, it's very interesting because I know people find California natives very intriguing because you don't hear much from us. One of the reasons you don't hear a lot from us is that we experienced three separate genocides, and I know that Val and Elias covered that very quickly last week. There was the Spanish dominations and mission system and enslavement and torture. And then there was the very brief Mexican period. And then there was, you know, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo was signed, but that only lasted for a New York minute when the gold rush people started coming. You know, the 49ers came. And all of these settlers, these white settlers from the east, came here in search of land and gold and whatnot. And they had no use for the Indians as labor or anything. So what happened was, I want the governor to remember two quotes that were made. One was made in 1851 and one was made in 1853. And again, Chairman Lopez touched upon the fact that one of the line items in the state budget early on was for the bounties for the extermination of our ancestors. This is one from California Governor Peter Burnett, made in January 1851. Quote, "A war of extermination will continue to be waged between the two races until the Indian race becomes extinct." I want the governor to remember that. Just because in order to survive, our ancestors had to go underground and live with Mexicans, it doesn't mean that we are not, it's not in our DNA, and our spirits are still alive and are still influencing us and driving us. Then also a quote in the Yreka Herald, 1853, "We hope that the government will render such aid as will enable the citizens of the North to carry on a war of extermination until the last redskin
right.
of all these tribes has been killed. Extermination is no longer a question of time. The time has arrived. The work has commenced, and let the first man who says treaty or peace be regarded a traitor." Governor Brown, if they can remove the Confederate flag in the South, then you can remove Junipero Serra from California and tell the truth. That's all.
That's,
we want him to know. And I do not disrespect him as a Catholic. I do not disrespect Native peoples who are Catholic. But I guess that would have to be my primary message.
That is so eloquent and sizzly and powerful, Norma Flores. That is really great. And also, you know, again, infinitely useful. When I read some of what you just read and the quotes, this is confessional, without knowing it. It cannot be refuted. I was talking to another allegedly hit person, you know, before last week's show, and I was like, and he goes, oh, that sounds like a conspiracy theory. It's like, no,
I saw that.
No. And then also for all those, you know, here I am outside Washington, D.C., right, where the Redskin, they just lost their...
Amanda Blackhorse, good friend of ours, yeah.
They just lost their trademark, which is a great, their money, that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But there still were a lot of people saying, oh, it's not a bad word at all, but there we have it, the extermination of Redskins. Right there.
When you cut off our scalps and our bodies are covered with blood, that is why we were red. And then it got so ugly in California that the white people were killing Mexicans, so the government said, well, you know what? Cut off their heads and prove to us they're Indians, and then we'll give you the money. So that is what Governor Brown needs to know. If Governor Brown wants to celebrate that, that's his business. But what they need to know is this will be settled in the spirit world. That is the message that my ancestors give me. They know that I'm working day and night on this.
That is so powerfully beautiful. Absolutely. Yes, settled in the spirit world. Well, because, yes, Coyote, everything is humming by your beautiful grandmother, your beautiful namesake, all of that. It is, you know, there's sayings in Thailand, you know, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism, our understanding that everything's alive. So the reclaiming of reverence for life is also the crucial, you know, compost of colonialism, you know, into nutrient for, you know, a reverent renaissance that we want to ladle out of this. And I so love the work of you and so many and Chairman Val Lopez, who are doing this for all of us to not be bamboozled. It's not good for anybody to be bamboozled or infantilized. You know, it goes on that way. So you also say, you know, you pull out the appropriate big metaphors just to let people know. You say it's a human rights issue. You say it's akin to celebrating Hitler at Auschwitz.
Yes.
Or FDR at Manzanar.
Exactly.
Or the Confederate flag at MLK's burial site. Right. Yeah.
Exact same thing. And the other thing, talking about your Disneyfication that I really like, is don't forget when they teach the mission system in California in the fourth grade. So what's really fun, and I went to my great-grandmother's mission, San Luis Rey in Oceanside, earlier this year, and I paid for the tour, and my son and I went.
Wow.
The little grandma saying, oh, and this is where the Indians made soap, and this is, oh, and at night they would lock up the girls because, you know, they didn't want the girls and boys to get in trouble. Oh, you didn't want the Spanish guys to be raping the women. Thanks. So you see, they sugarcoat everything because they would say, well, it's not appropriate to talk about rape to fourth graders. Well, when is it? When do we teach children about the Diary of Anne Frank? Then let's change the curriculum in California. Let's teach the truth when it's appropriate. Don't give sugar-coated fantasy heritage lies.
Right. Well, because it also makes people crazy. And another response from a great ally to last week's show and this, and we will do more, he said he grew up around the Carmel Mission, and weddings were celebrated there, but he, as a fellow Scorpio, he said he always felt something creepy underneath that creeped him out. So everybody knows somewhere they can hide it and layer it and whatever, and so yeah, Pope Francis or, you know, Governor Brown or, you know, or little 4-year-olds or fourth graders, you know, everybody can feel it, and it makes people crazy when it's suppressed.
When you deny it is, and again, the historic record on Junipero was closed in 1948. Well, let's look at history during that time. You know, the end of World War II, the Depression, all these things. My great-grandmother was put in the infamous Sherman Indian School in Riverside. They would take Native children from their parents and put them in Americanization boarding schools. Even after my great-grandmother was sold as a child bride at age 15 to her Basque husband for livestock and masonry work, she was still required to sew for the Sherman School. They say that they taught the children trade, but these children were indentured servants. And you can easily, you and your listeners can easily go on the Sherman Indian School website, go on to their museum history project, and you will see the names of children, their age, their villages. And my great-grandmother is on there.
Wow. We're going to take a very short musical break and come back with you, Norma Flores, and also with our great ally, Chairman Valentin Lopez. Here's a very short break.
Okay, thank you.
She shook the constellation and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellation and dazzled them across his eyes.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and we're diving back in. Our splendid, wonderful guests are Norma Flores, Toiporina Karak, and also we are bringing into at the half hour our wonderful ally from last week, Chairman Valentin Lopez of the Amamutsin Tribal Band, one of three historic tribes that are recognized as Ohlone. Welcome, Chairman Valentin Lopez.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you again today.
That's wonderful. So you've been listening to Norma's incredibly fierce, fabulous eloquence, and I guess you are colleagues in this dedication, yes?
Well, that's correct. Norma and I have worked closely through this entire effort, and she's a very bright and articulate and compassionate person for this, and she's just the type of ally that we need to keep up the effort. And we're dedicated to this for the long run, and so I'm sure we'll be working for years and years to come.
Excellent. And just for the astro-mytho-ness, as we gathered here right now, the Sky-Earth story is all about pragmatic mysticism and the moon at the last degree of Capricorn, whose original image was the gathering of, you know, wise elders to determine the course of culture. And then just spookily, at the proposed, because we seek to dissolve that, the proposed canonization of Junipero Serra on the autumnal equinox, September 23rd, it's 29 Capricorn rising. So I think we really can, we're not expecting anything, but I think we really can suck the chi out of that. I think we can do it. But you said, Chairman Val said your profound statement at the gathering at the mission at San Juan Batista. Do you remember if the Pope is confessing past sins towards our ancestors? Do you remember what you said?
Oh, well, what I said is that, I compared the apology to confession. You know, whenever any Catholic goes to confession, if they went in there and told the priest, into the confessional booth and said, I apologize, that doesn't work.
Right.
So the priest is going to expect you to give details. You know, what are your sins? How often did you do it? And why? And that kind of stuff. That's what, according to the Catholic Church, that's what true confession is. An apology is comparable to a confession. So whenever they say they apologize, they need to very clearly say what they are apologizing for. You know, I know that we had a mass of reconciliation where Bishop Garcia, for our Amamutsu tribe at Mission San Juan Batista, and Bishop Garcia gave a formal apology to our tribe. And the apology, I always wondered, is what he is apologizing for, how does that match up with what we feel that the apology should be for? And in all honesty, we do not believe that he understood what he was apologizing for. I think he was just trying to give a general apology that we would accept and get back on track so that they can canonize Junipero Serra.
Right.
We do not accept that apology. We acknowledge the apology, but we, as our tribal council, we met beforehand and we agreed that we would acknowledge it, not accept it, because an apology has to be followed up with actions. And the actions that they're following up with is the canonization of Junipero Serra, the person responsible for the death of over 19,421 of our ancestors at Mission San Juan Batista.
It's like a late great ally Reverend Ike used to say, confess and forsake, and not enough to say, yeah, I did it, and keep on going. You got to confess and forsake. with wonderful board op some years back, we were going, we don't know what forgive means, because we were like saying, well, we don't want to condone. So we came up with redefining forgive as to mean to give energy for change, you know, and that's sort of better. But, you know, we forgive meaning give you energy for change, and or as Norma again was saying, you know, hold accountable. It is a fierce blessing to hold anyone accountable to their stated dedicated purpose. So,
let me add one thing to that, if you don't mind, Caroline.
Sure.
And that is that, you know, what good also is it to give an apology and yet to not rescind the papal bulls? You know, the papal bulls said that we were the enemies, that all indigenous people around the world are enemies of Christ. Mm-hmm. That we are heathens, that we are pagans, that we are savages, that we have no soul, that it is okay to enslave us, to put us into perpetual damnation, to steal our lands and our property. I mean, that's what the papal bulls said. So how can they apologize and not rescind the papal bulls? That just means they're leaving it on the book so they can use it again later. And, we have to look at the sincerity of an apology. Likewise, whenever Pope Francis gives an apology to the indigenous people down south in South America, I mean, did that apology apply to our people? Was he apologizing to the Amamutsu as well? You know, probably not. So then the question is, why are we being excluded? And if he is apologizing to our people, how can he apologize and canonize Junipero Serra at the same time? That's just hypocritical and as confusing as can be. And they need to understand what the heck they're doing better. If they expect people to understand it.
Absolutely, that is true. Well, let me turn to Norma, and then we'll toss it back to you, Chairman Val Lopez. And Norma, anything you want to say about the papal bulls? But also, you know, let's help the dementors out. You know, to be unpossessed, meaning maybe you and also Chairman Val can go. You know, here's a list to help you out of what. Oh, good.
Yes. That one is for, you know, we're kind of reading each other's minds here, and I love this.
Oh, good.
Very quickly, the tribe that I advocate on behalf, the Garbalino Band of Mission Indians, Keech Nation, I work with our tribal chairman, Andrew Lopez, who is a direct descendant of Nicolas Jose, the neophyte who came to Toypurina to have the revolt in 1785. They were both punished. Toypurina was banished to Northern California. She was sent to Mission Carmel. And then once they thought she was causing some trouble there, they sent her to San Juan Bautista. So we are actually sort of linked, Val's people and our tribe. We wrote a letter to the Pope in April, and of course we've never gotten a reply. We've actually written three separate letters. What we're telling the Pope is, we strongly urge you, number one, we're urging him to initiate the following plan of action. One, immediately abandon the plan to canonize Junipero Serra. Two, vacate and denounce the papal bulls, doctrine of discovery, and other Vatican doctrine created to colonize and exterminate our ancestors in the name of, quote, evangelism. Three, reopen the historic record on Serra so that each tribal nation impacted by the California mission system can document their specific history and record the number of ancestors that were enslaved, raped, tortured, and subject to genocide, as well as modern historic trauma by the mission system. Four, schedule an immediate visit to California to engage in meaningful dialogue with our tribes on how the church can acknowledge past dominations and genocide committed against our people. Finally, establish tangible policy to tell the truth about Serra and the missions, clearly marking all missions in California as sacred places of mass genocide towards native peoples. So not until these steps are taken can healing begin for the church and native peoples. Finally, the canonization of an individual that took church doctrine to such brutal extremes has no place in history or the modern Vatican. How will this reflect upon saints that lived virtuous lives of humility, dedication to God, and compassion? You know, Junipero Serra has a place in history, but certainly not heaven. So, you know, we're not trying to alienate Catholics. We're not trying to alienate Christians. We're trying to reason with people and say, look, he's a bad apple, and he doesn't belong up there with the other saints that you worship.
No, that's very skillful and true. That is a brilliant, and also, I think you sent me that, but that is such a great thing that we really want to spiral out. It's so well said, and it does lay it out, and it's so informative to our dynamic listening audience, you know, spiraling out. Hello, everybody in California and also all over the world, because this is so powerful, the work that you're both doing with your colleagues, because every horrific video of brutality that we are subject to on a daily basis of, you know, blacks pulled over for the light not working, for the front license not being on, and it ending in death.
Sure.
This is all, it's all one thing.
Yeah.
And I do thank, you know, both of you so much, because we are all complicitous, and until we realize that we can withdraw our complicity from this. So it's not like finger wagging at the hapless, insane, brutal dentist who killed the lion. It's going, that's part of the whole dream. You know, that's part of what, there's a complicity in the ongoing, colonialism that, you know, and the brutality that possesses, you know, not all cops, but, you know, but the treatment of blacks, of indigenous people, of everything all around the world. So, and we do have a global audience and a lot of listeners in South Africa as well who deeply know these things. So that is great. Is there anything you want to chime in or add to that, Chairman Val Lopez?
Well, you know, no, I agree with everything Norma said, of course. And the other thing is, another important message that we bring is we're not here with anger or hatred.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, we've had 200 years to be angry and hateful. It's time for our people to heal.
Right.
And it is the truth that would help us heal. So in every letter that we've sent to Pope Francis, and the recent letters that we sent to Governor Brown and stuff, it's important for them to recognize that the Native people need to heal from the history that was brought upon us by the various perpetrators, the church, the Mexican period, the Spanish government, who nobody ever talks about, and the American government and California government, specifically as well. The perpetrators have to heal too. And and it's a truth that's going to allow that healing to start. And we've been asking people to work with us on the healing, and we've yet to have a response from any one of them yet on saying, you know, how can we work together? How can we heal? How can we make things better? How can we build a positive path to move forward into the future? You know, we've had the Catholic Church tell us, you know, how can they help us heal? You know, not how can we work together to heal?
Right.
You know, we had that meeting with the two bishops and the priest, the priest that's setting up the effort to canonize Junipero Serra. We had a meeting with them, and they made it clear that they were, you know, that they wanted to know how they can help us heal, because it's our problem. There's no, you know, that was, there was no doubt about what they were saying there, and they did not realize their culpability in our historic trauma. So that's another important issue that we need to address.
That's really brilliant and perfect and just true. And I also want to thank you and commend you, Chairman Val Lopez, for your use of the word yet. Because remember last week you were like, oh, nobody's listening, and we're going yet until now. And it's true, we are spiraling it forth. We did get, you know, some mainstream media, you know, sniffles and, you know, whatever. But again, you know, and now we have Coyote here. So, you know, again, sending this out because both of you are so well spoken, and this time right now that you are both animating so well, it is a time when the heart can be really spoken to, and I don't know of two people who are doing it better than speaking directly to the heart in this strong, not infantilizing, direct and respectful way. It's very powerful. So is there anything you want to chime in on, Norma, with what Chairman Val just put on our council table?
Well, very quickly, I need to just let you know that, you know, justice has no time limit. That is a quote. That is, those are words used by a woman who is taken to Auschwitz as a young girl. When they, you know, a couple of weeks ago, when they pressed charges against the bookkeeper of Auschwitz, she said that justice has no time limit. And so we are survivors. We're not victims. And we owe this to our ancestors. Justice has no time limit. When my son was in Catholic school, they used to tell us that the people are the church. Because right now, a lot of people are afraid to speak out against this. But we're not denouncing Catholicism or modern Catholic or even this Pope. We're saying, look, we're trying to rationalize with them and say, this is all retrograde. But what you've been saying, now you're taking all these steps backwards. And then touching upon your Disney theme,
right,
showing my age, we all, I think everyone age 40 or 50 and over knows what an e-ticket is at Disneyland, right?
No, I've never been to Disneyland.
Oh, okay. Well, I grew up in Southern California.
You had to, yes. It's the church.
Okay. An e-ticket at Disneyland in the 60s, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s meant that you could take a ride on any ride. They had A, B, C, D, and E. A were just the little kiddie rides, and the e-tickets were the premier rides. And so the Vatican, by the Pope making these blanket apologies that are completely non-specific, he's looking for an e-ticket. And Val is asking for accountability. He wants specifics. A very interesting thing happened recently. I got privy to an email from a retired priest who didn't realize that I would be getting my hands on this email. I guess your friend Coyote sent it to me. It was a complete plan by this priest recommending to a bishop on how they could, quote, suppress the California natives right now so we would not cause trouble during the canonization of Junipero Serra. They suggested, he outlined an entire program of how it is they could have counter propaganda against what we are saying. I have it in writing. It was amazing, and it fell into my lap, and
yes,
it allowed me to mobilize. There is going to be very quickly, there's a documentary film was made by a Kaweah woman. It's going to be at Spotlight 29 Casino at 7:30 p.m. there in Coachella. It is free, so are refreshments. And I know Val was part of it. Elias was part of it.
Mm.
Dr. James Sandoz was part of it, and some other tribal elders were involved in it. And they want to show the diverse opinions of how people feel about the canonization of Junipero Serra, how we have been historically traumatized, how different Native people interpret and implement and live their Catholicism. And so I think that covers just about it. We just, you know, we're not going to forget about this. And if the Pope moves forward with the canonization of Junipero Serra in September, I think it will speak volumes. And we will be completely disenfranchised.
Well,
I will never be able to walk into a Catholic church again. And you know what? I am still technically a Catholic.
Who's your patron saint?
You know, I really, well, my mother's mom, her saint was Santo Niño de Atocha. I think I fall in with the Claritians.
But you would have been, you know, gone through the whole thing and been slapped by the bishop and the whole ritual. Did you bail out before then?
As a cultural Catholic, I was baptized. I made my communion. But my mom and my grandfather, my native grandfather, did not want them slapping me.
Right. Well,
they did not want me to be slapped, so I am not confirmed.
Aha, you're unconfirmed.
That's right. I'm unconfirmed. I'm on the perimeter. I've been watching them for all these years, my entire life. And, you know, I know it may seem vulgar and turn some people off, but, you know, there's also the smorgasbord Catholics. So I guess I'm, you'd have to call me one of them.
Well, that's better than what I was as a child, which is I was confirmed very early. I mean, I gave it everything. I went to church when my parakeet died. I heard angels when the bells rang. I was exactly. Giving it everything. But then, you know, when the nun said, I said, what about animals? They're like, oh, no, animals don't have a soul. I go, you don't know, and I'm leaving. But before I left, I did to pick my confirmation saint. I just read the Book of Martyrs and picked who won. I mean, who won the martyrdom kinky, sado, erotic, weird, twisted thing? Because I figured that was the game. Mm-hmm. Agatha. So even the bishop was like, Agatha? Jesus, okay. But it goes back to what we were speaking about also last week. Chairman Val Lopez, I think it was Elias and Matthew Fox were bringing up, well, we all know this too, that part of the kinkiness that exists again as a toxin, you know, fungus woven through the fabric of modern world, is this the mortification of the flesh? I mean, Huna Parasara was beating himself with chains, and so much so that in one mass, a man was seized by the martyrdom spirit and chained himself to death in front of. We go, this is very kinky. You both are free to chime in if you want. But what will you both be doing? Do you wonder on September 23rd? 4:15 p.m. Washington, D.C. time. Do you have plans, or are you both fluid?
I won't be there. I certainly will not be there. I don't know if I'll be in mourning. I will be trying to reconcile with my ancestors in some way. They understand that we may not be able to stop this, but they have given me the strength to work on this 24/7. Until such time. Actually, Val and I have thrown around the idea of presenting a workshop at UC Berkeley in October at the California Indian Conference regarding sort of a post-mortem on this.
Well,
what didn't. And so we're going to do that. But the day of that happening, I don't know. I may go to my great-grandmother's grave. My great-grandmother, when she died of tuberculosis in 1925, was denied burial in a Catholic cemetery because they said that she was pagan. And so she is buried at the top of Rose Hills in Whittier, California, and hawks meet me. The minute I drive up to Rose Hills, a hawk meets me and escorts me to the top of the hill, and it's a very powerful place where my great-grandmother is buried, and so I will burn sage.
And I know,
apologize to her for this.
Well, but it might be, I mean, we don't count on anything, but it might be a celebration. We've still got time. But in any case, you know, what you're both doing with the power of your dedication and your eloquence, to honor that day. He can't own the autumnal equinox, the day of bringing things into blessing. And I'm still up in a coyote way. We know expectation is the partner of disappointment. Okay. But willing to work with anything going, it would be miraculous, but we might, be able to, or you might be able, on coyote, might be able to suck the chi out of this. And, we see you are a great seer. You granted me permission to your chart. You are Sun Neptune conjunction and Scorpio woman. Me too. I'm a Sun Neptune conjunction. But you can see the Pope's soul going, Now we know, and I want to turn back to you also, Chairman Val, about the investment in denial. So it is against all odds because of the amount of money and highways and paintings and statues and whatever, and Jerry Brown's, strange Dominican, whatever it is, reaching up to grab him into the underworld of colonialism. But you never know. We're open to miracles, right?
Yes.
Are you open to miracles?
We certainly are.
Excellent.
We do hold out some hope for that. We're also aware that in the church's past, they have renounced sainthood to certain people. And so if you're in the process of becoming a saint, you're next ever to unsaint him. you know, and we'll get on that right away.
It's very witty you should say that, because just for the fun of it, on September 23rd, Mercury mind voice, you know, will be retrograde, which does mean whatever goes on there, it is a reversal. So anyway, you're dancing with the big forces, Chairman Bell.
I love it. Now, you know, and then the one thing you did ask about, you know, what are you going to be doing on that day?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm trying to get to New York. I'm hoping that I can get an invitation or an acceptance to go to the United Nations and hear Pope Francis give his talk on the floor of the United Nations regarding the environment.
Right.
And I'd love to be there. And if I'm there, I will ask for a press conference so we can let the world know how we feel about what the church, what the Catholic Church did to the environment of the California natives. They totally, totally destroyed it. I talked about that last week, I believe. So, and then also talk about the true history of the missions.
Right.
And why we oppose the canonization of Unit Parole Status.
Well, and remind us, and remind our dedicated listeners about the environmental destruction of the mission system.
Well, when they came in, you know, they want, you know, their, what they valued, you know, was the money and the pursuit of just, what they wanted to do was just develop huge herds of cat, what they did is develop huge herds of cattle, horses, sheep, and pigs, and then they had, you know, and they had to feed them. And so what they did is they brought in the grazing grasses. And so the grazing grasses, they grow taller than the native grasses because our native grasses are more efficient at using the water and adapting to the climates. And so they brought in these, you know, their native grasses, and they just completely choked out. They brought in their foreign grasses, and they choked out our native grasses. And then they would start, and then they started to eliminate the bear and the deer and the elk and the antelope, so that they would not compete for the food, or so that the bears would not kill the cattle. And so they, you know, they completely transformed our environment. The plants that we lost were our food plants, our medicine plants, the plants we use for housing, clothing, basketry, traps, etc. And so they completely destroyed our environment. And Pope Francis has said that's a sin. And yet, you know, it's a sin for everybody, but not for what happened here in California.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up here all too soon, but we will keep doing more. And I'm so grateful to both of you. Now, beautiful Norma Flores, you are a great seer. I'm aspiring to be such. Don't we see Chairman Val in front of the UN? We do see him. Don't we see him doing that? We do. We see you, Chairman Val, addressing the UN. We see it powerfully moving everyone's heart. You know, we see Norma Flores' beautiful work spiraling out into the world. We see everybody signing the Move On petition. Anyway, thank you so much, Norma Flores. Let's keep it rolling. And also thank you, of course, always Chairman Valentin Lopez of the AMO. Oh, you have to say your tribe's name, so I apologize. Oops, he's gone.
Mamutin Tribal Band.
Thank you very much. That's wonderful. We will reconvene. We will keep this rolling. Thanks always to, in Washington, D.C., to Alex Bruinskis and Gaston, and to Erica Bridgman in Berkeley. I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week. Woof, 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 coyotenetworknews.com. And we'll keep this thing rolling. Thanks again, Norma and Val.
Thank you. We appreciate the opportunity.
Excellent. Oh, yeah, dear.
This is Dennis Bernstein, host of Flashpoints.
This is Miguel Gavilan Molina, host and senior producer of Flashpoints.
Heard on KPFA every weekday from 5 to 6.
Flashpoints is a hard-hitting news magazine that monitors the centers of power and reports back to the people.
We bring community radio into the community and give voice to the voiceless, from occupied Palestine to the falsely accused on death row.
From the brown revolutions in the fields of misery to the front lines of the new labor and civil rights movement.
On Flashpoints, black and brown lives really do matter. So join us here on KPFA every weekday at 5 p.m. Thank you.
This is Brian Edwards Tekert. Here's something you won't hear on KPFA this summer.
The number to call is 1-800-439-5732.
A lot of you have told us that our fund drives have gotten too long, that you love the station, but you can't stand this.
439-5732. This newscast has been given a goal of raising.
Many of you have told us that you would be willing to keep supporting KPFA without getting this.
We are trying to stand up and make a difference here.
Well, now we're putting that to the test. For the first time in 15 years, there will be no summer fund drive. Now, cutting that fund drive could cost us almost $300.